This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
The blame for problems with schooling in America is often assigned to insufficient funding or the inherent failings of today's kids. In rare cases, parents, teachers, and administrators are also implicated. However, all efforts to improve the quality of education are doomed to fail if the system itself is not examined and understood to be the most significant impediment. It is 6 years in the making. The new documentary is The War on Kids, and it's an honor to welcome live on the long line producer and filmmaker Kevin Soling. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. So I have to start with asking you, you've done so much work in a variety of different entertainment fields, music and filmmaking. When did you realize, I got a movie here I got to make? This is a story that has to be told.
Of all the projects I've done, this one has sort of always been closest to my heart. It's definitely one that I've always, kind of wanted to make. It's really a youth rights project, and it's one of those issues that I felt really strongly about when I was when I was a kid, and that never left, and it was always something I knew I had to stand up for youth rights, because because kids have no voice, and no one no one takes them seriously. They have no access to to the public marketplace of ideas and in media in any way that anyone ever takes them seriously, and their complaints and issues are routinely disregarded.
Yeah, we're talking with filmmaker Kevin Soling. The new movie is The War on Kids, and we'll be giving away a free DVD copy at the end of this interview, so stay tuned. You can check it out online and learn a whole lot more at thewaronkids.com. So, Kevin, tell folks now, what's the film about, and when they see this film, what can they expect?
The film is largely, the bigger picture of the film is about youth and what we're willing to do to kids in America for our own needs, this one deals specifically with public education and how public education plays a role in subjugating youth and keeping them out of society, and basically a means of repression and suppression.
And getting them used to, preparing workers. That's how I always understood it. You have to show up at this time, you're going to sit here, you're going to do this work. When the clock reaches another time, you're going to leave and go home. Boy, I mean, you talk about grooming workers for a capitalist economy.
Well, it's part of that. I mean, it's funny, if you look at the transformation of schools, there was a period where it was certainly designed that way. And one of the things that most people don't realize is that public education is actually a fairly recent invention. It only came about around the 1850s, and it was something that was designed in Prussia, as a means of sort of creating obedient soldiers, and it was picked up and taken to the United States and brought here. So originally, the original model was actually sort of military, where you have authoritarian figure, the teacher, sitting in, standing in a classroom with obedient people sitting in rows, orderly lined up, listening to the instructions. So that was the first model. Then with the advent of the Industrial Revolution, then you get the factory model of schools, where you have the bell rings, you go to the and everyone orderly lines up. They do they have school is then divided up into various subjects. You have rather than integrated lessons, where English, math, and everything is all about a process of learning in general. It's broken down and divided into these various things, and school then also starts to resemble a factory, and you have people there who are trained to become factory workers, who are given busy work. Now what's happened today actually is even more disturbing, is that schools now resemble prisons, and the very same architects that design prisons are the same ones who are designing schools. And you see with the security systems that are in the schools, the structure of the schools, but the interiors as well are designed and modeled after prisons.
The website is The War on Kids. It's also the name of the new documentary by filmmaker Kevin Soling. Check out the website. Fantastic website, I should say, by the way. I really enjoyed it. You can spend a lot of time there. TheWarOnKids.com. Kevin, I think you're getting to my next question here, and that's this thesis that you have that the very system of public education itself is doomed to fail, that we can point fingers all day long, school teachers, too many testing, standards, funding, you know, parents that don't care, whatever. But your thesis is that it's the inherent system of how it's actually structured and how it has evolved that will always doom it to fail no matter what we do with it.
That is correct, and was a depressing realization. It wasn't what I came into the project, you know, thinking that I was going to come out with that. I mean, there were a bunch of things that were going on that I was genuinely curious about and simply didn't know, which is, you know, certainly the best way anyone should, you know, do investigative reporting. For instance, you know, the whole pharmaceutical surge. I simply had no idea what the reason, you know, for what was behind that, but also, you know, the problem, you know, before we discuss that, you know, certainly the problems with schools was something that I was genuinely curious. I thought it was solely just an issue of respect and that, you know, had to do with attitudes for kids, and then, you know, throughout the process of making the movie, I was converted by teachers, educated by a number of the people, you know, that I interviewed, who you know, where it really became clear to me that the main lesson in school is submission to authority. That is the number one thing that is taught in schools, and all the hope and as far as resources and everyone playing a part and doing, you know, their job, you know, optimally, the outcome is really just that you're hoping that kids will be completely submissive and, you know, accept, you know, the lessons and the work that's given to them. And if you, you know, actually consider what the optimal that everyone is trying to achieve is, it's very dismal, very scary and Orwellian in this, you know, uniform conformity of mind and, you know, and this blind obedience. And it's really not a human product that I think anyone would really want to, you know, any thoughtful person would want to create. But I think expediency is the number one factor that our society has developed in such a way that kids, you know, are a burden, not necessarily literally, but they're a burden, or actually literally to the degree that you know, most people work 9 to 5 or longer, and there just isn't the opportunity to spend time with their kids in any way that they should want, and they need a babysitting factory to, you know, to look after them, and you turn this over to the state, and they have to model it in a certain manner, and it's become less and less and less about education, and it doesn't do a good job educating. And it really never has is the other thing. No one has ever evaluated its efficacy no one has ever you know taken a look at the efficacy and considered alternative. It's only, you know, school isn't doing a good job educating kids. We see how many kids who graduate that can't read, can't write, and, you know, rather than trying to think, you know, maybe we should think of a better way to do this, the response is, well, you know, we need to throw more resources at the problem. But the problem isn't resources. The problem is the structure itself.
We're talking with filmmaker Kevin Soling. It's The War on Kids, a new documentary, and we'll be giving away a free DVD here in just a few minutes. You can check it out online at thewaronkids.com. The whole system itself, Kevin, seems to be set up to create, you know, good consumers, good workers, but not citizens who will stand up and get angry when their rights are taken away.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem also, is that you have, you know, with this, you know, and events take place like Columbine, and people look at it and you know, all the wrong ways, and think that the response to school shootings is more security, more security cameras, zero tolerance policies, which are, you know, these one strike and you're out policies that are capriciously implemented on. They're supposed to be there, if, you know, for situations where there are real threats of violence. If a kid brings a gun in school, you know, they're expelled for, for life or something to that effect. But it's completely arbitrary what kids are expelled for. I have literally hundreds, if not more, of lists of cases where kids are expelled or suspended for not having done anything wrong, but the school, is just exercising authority and utilizing these rules sort of, in a way that's it's just a gross abuse of authority. And kids have been expelled for giving candy to other kids. Girls taking Midol for menstrual cramps or things of that nature. And
Kevin, the really alarming thing for me here is that, as we have gone on, and schools are getting more and more like this, what we're doing is we're creating Americans who are comfortable with this, with these searches, with cameras, with monitoring, with controlled speech, with all the stuff that schools have become. They get comfortable. You create adults then who are comfortable and think, oh, yeah, well, this is just normal.
And we're definitely seeing that happen, and that has happened. And I wouldn't even say it's comfortable. I'd say it's more apathy. They just become apathetic to control. And the Supreme Court, and that's the whole other thing, is the law constantly sides with the school system anytime they take action, regardless of how absurd the action is. Like I said, there were kids who were playing cops and robbers, kindergartners at this one school in New Jersey, and they're using their fingers to go bang, and there was six kids, and they were suspended for this, and these go to the courts, and the school's decisions are always upheld. I mean, there are rare circumstances where they're not, but that's few and far between.
What did you learn when you were making the film? We're talking with filmmaker Kevin Soling, thewaronkids.com. What did you learn? You mentioned earlier about the pharmaceutical surge and the drugging of our kids. When you were making the film, what did you learn about the extent of this problem?
Well, that was something where, I was completely ignorant going into, making the film as far as, the reasons, and was certainly open to any, explanation. Whether it had to do with, the 1960s, the experimentation with drugs leading to, having some effect on the children or something to that effect. Any kind of scenario I was certainly open to. The truth of the matter that I learned was much more horrifying and shocking, and that basically there are a number of kids who have behavioral problems that are undoubtedly linked to the climate of the school, and there is no such thing as ADD or ADHD as a neurological disorder. No one has ever able to point to any problem or anything going on in the brain that's responsible for this, and the drug companies are marketing these very detrimental substances to children that have permanent long-term effects. The drugs stunt growth. They affect the development of internal organs. The children's brains adapt to this bath of toxic chemicals that they're given. And now there are over 8 million kids who are improperly being prescribed these drugs. And it's worse than the cigarette conspiracy, when the cigarette companies knew that there was, that tobacco was harmful, and they were hiding that information. This is much worse. You're doing it, to this unsusceptible population, and it's disturbing and tragic. And one of the main things I hope with the film is that parents who are just accepting the words of various so-called experts just dig a little deeper, do a little research, because there's a stigma that goes along with it, too. The kids think that there's something wrong with them, that they're damaged. There was this one situation at, I think it was the San Diego Zoo. I could be getting the zoo wrong, but there was a, I believe it was a leopard. Again, some animal in the cat family, that was, had been in a cage, and it just was pacing back and forth and back and forth. And clearly, something was wrong, and it didn't take a genius to know that it was because the animal was in a cage that it was pacing like this. But the response was to give the animal some type of drug to have it accept this caged condition, which the drug worked, but there was actually an outroar among people who were able to completely understand that they were just drugging the animal to make it adapt to this horrible environment that was inappropriate, and then there was an appropriate response taken after that the animal was taken off whatever drug that they were giving it. But this is what's going on to our kids, that the school environment is genuinely a sick, unhealthy environment. Kids who are normally active are forced to be quiet, shut up, sit down, not be social, have their minds and bodies controlled and be under surveillance for 7-8 hours a day, and not be able to explore or pursue anything that compels or interests them, but to be forced to take lessons in an obedient fashion. And it's not a healthy environment. It's not an environment that we were designed to be in.
Yeah, and parents, what's so sad and tragic is that parents have, millions and millions of parents have been convinced that you need to give your kids these drugs to get them used to being in this miserable place, because this is the place to which they have been sentenced and they're not getting out.
Yeah.
We're talking with filmmaker Kevin Soling. The new movie is The War on Kids, and it's online at thewaronkids.com, and we'll be giving away a free DVD here in just a minute. Kevin, fantastic film. You really did a great thing here, and it's an important message, and I hope a lot of people get to see this.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much for saying that. I put a lot, and I tried really hard. One of the things that I tried hardest with the film was to make sure that every statement that was made by experts, or if things were alluded to, that I did exhaustive work as far as citing sources and making sure that claims were documented, so that that nothing fell through the the cracks as far as where statements that are rather dramatic and compelling and disturbing were made.
Right. Before we let you go, just the last question here: what's your response to all the teachers out there and some administrators who truly do care? They want it to be better. They enjoy working with children. They love teaching. And they know. Hey, my sister's a public school teacher. I told her about it. She's like, hell yes, it's a mess. The teachers know something's wrong. And probably they're the first people in this country that want it to be fixed, because this is where they work. It's their job. It's their workplace.
Yeah.
What's your message for these people who truly do want it to get better and do care and are trying under enormously difficult situation here to do some good every day?
First off, I'd like to say that everyone who I interviewed who was part of the system, administrators, teachers, parents, everyone I tried to paint in the best light as possible, because I really do believe that people are trying to do their best, and anyone who was willing to be interviewed, I treat sympathetically, because I appreciate the fact that they're willing to talk on camera. So I really don't try to indict anyone, even administrators who I think are really doing some bad things with the zero tolerance expulsion, although those people must truly understand that they're doing something wrong, because none of them agreed to to be interviewed. There was one teacher addressing the question. There was one teacher I interviewed out in Oregon. I went all over the country, and one of the reasons why I also went to tried to go to more affluent areas and was because I think most people think that the problems with schools is funding, and that problems are in inner city with school, that it's not But the message is that I'm trying to make is no, the problem is with schools. The one teacher I interviewed in Oregon, I asked him, because he was particularly brutal about his attack on the system, and I asked him about how he goes to work every day, how he goes to sleep at night, participating in this system, and his approach was basically he acts like a doctor, and with the Hippocratic oath, and that his goal is to do as little harm as possible, knowing that he is part of a harmful system. And that was a rather depressing statement, and since then he's actually retired, and he's a young man. He just couldn't really be involved with the system anymore. And the message, I guess, that I have, and this one friend of mine is an administrator who helped get me into a lot of schools. You know, it's amazing how the environment of schools is such that you really need, you know, insiders to get in, because there is a lot of protection. There's also a lot of fear among all the participants. They're very, very fearful people. Fearful of their jobs, and you know, they're victimized as well. It's the first and foremost, I'd say the best thing to do is just, you know, to at least have respect for the kids and to try to put the kids first, which is really rarely done. The administrator, again, I was talking to, was they were having some issue about when, you know, the buses should come, and they're dealing with the bus union and the teachers union and all these different people as far as when to pick up the kids and other factors and you know, issues about, well, what's best for the kids, you know, just don't come up. No one ever thinks that. That's the last, you know, person on the food chain of you know, group of people on the food chain of school. It's just, you know, I think, you know, being a little more kid centric, which you would, you know, again, intuition would tell you that is, you know, the number one priority, but it is consistently, you know, the last priority.
Filmmaker Kevin Soling, the new movie is The War on Kids. You can learn more online at thewaronkids.com. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me again.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.